Let's resume. The next item on the board's agenda is 2005-2006 number 104, Colorado minimum wage. The time is 4:16 p.m. And if we could first hear from proponents. Mr. Gruskin, I believe you represent proponents. If you'll identify yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mark Gruskin, and I do represent the proponents. Actually, if I might just take this out of order, I represent the proponents on 104 and 107. Proponents on number 107 have authorized me to withdraw that measure from the title board's jurisdiction. So while I'm sure you're trying to get in your getting conditioned for 2 weeks from today in terms of a marathon session, I regret to inform you that absent extraordinary circumstance, I'm not going to contribute materially to your
conditions. Thank you.
So as to number 104, that'll be the only matter on your agenda. And I know that typically you like to hear a little bit about what the measure does. I think it's self-explanatory in terms of establishing a minimum wage rate of $6.85 in the state of Colorado. In Colorado, we joined 20 other states that have their own minimum wage independent of minimum wage established by the federal government for all workers in affected categories of employment. In addition, the measure sets forth because employees who regularly receive tips have a different formula for calculating their minimum wage. The measure sets forth a maximum of $3.02 per hour in tip income may be used to offset the minimum wage of such employees. While you haven't asked, I know the board also often looks at the issue of whether or not changes made in the text are reflective of the dialogue that occurred with legislative staff. And if I might, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to address that issue because you typically get to it, but I'm trying to preempt as much as I possibly can.
Go ahead.
If I could, I'm going to provide you with exhibits A, B, and C. Exhibits A and B are the questions posed by legislative staff. And there's nothing particularly notable about them, except that they are largely parallel, with one exception in Exhibit A, which addresses Amendment Initiative 104. There is an eighth question about this $3 tip credit. They are largely the same, although because of a different formulation of that tip credit, question number three between the two are somewhat different. I also ask that the hearing be transcribed, and unfortunately because of technical difficulties, that transcription has not exactly been an optimal situation. And specifically, what happened through some technical difficulties which have not yet been sorted out is that the first question is addressed on page 3 of the transcript, Exhibit 3. Then there is a skipping such that on page 4 there is an answer to question number 5, an answer to question number 7. At the top of page 5 there is part of the question number 8 and part of the answer. The bottom half of page 5 deals with question 2. Question on page 6 is question number 3, both questions number 3 from the two memos. And on page 7, there's actually an answer to question number 6. How this happened, I cannot say, but the court reporter listened to the CD several times. I would point to you at the top of page 5, however, where Mr. Gall of the Legislative Council is asking what is on Exhibit A, question number 8. That question reads, should the $3 per hour for tip income also be adjusted for inflation? On the transcript, as you'll see, it only got part of that question, but you can tell that it is, in fact, that question. And as I answered, I said, well, I think that relates to my answer on question number 6 and the other ones as well. Specifically, I was referring to questions 3 and 6, which address both the tip credit and the amount of the minimum wage rate that is established. I went on to say, it may well be that we need to either address that for inflation or change the figure, the starting figure, so that it is, and then there's an audio break. I would represent to you that in my answer, as is indicated, I suggested that the starting figure, the $3 offset figure, might need to be adjusted. I would also represent to you that Mr. Gall is here today. Mr. Gall, based on our conversations, recalls that this issue came up and that there was a discussion of changing the amount of the $3 per hour offset. I would be happy for Mr. Gall to put that in his own words, and I appreciate that in the waning days of the legislature, he has agreed to come over here and acknowledge, or at least address to the extent that you would like him to, what occurred. I apologize for this technological hiccup, but absent the representations that I think are clear anyway from the memo and this transcript, my representations as an attorney and the availability of Mr. Gall, I don't know how else to resuscitate language that has been lost because of the technical glitch. I would represent to you, however, that the $3.02 figure did come up in that hearing, was referenced as part of our answers, and therefore is an appropriate change for the proponents to make. I would also suggest to you that it is, in the broader scheme of things, not a material change because it was specifically addressed by the questions. That having been said, I think that threshold test of is this measure and any changes, are any changes to this measure reflective of the process that preceded us, the answer to that is yes. I think clearly the single subject of this measure is beyond question. It clearly deals with the minimum wage rate in the state of Colorado, and therefore I would suggest to you that you have jurisdiction both because this measure is properly before the board, because it emanates from a timely filed proposal and one that was adjusted based upon comments made at the review and comment hearing, and that it comprises a single subject.
Mr. Grushkin, I'm sorry, I got confused. Since I don't have in front of me the version that was submitted originally to the legislative staff, how does the version that was submitted to the Secretary of State's office differ with respect to the tip income?
I'm sorry, I should have provided that to you as well. The only change that, where you see $3.02 in the draft, that used to be $3.00. That was the only change that was made.
Okay. So that still would not be adjusted. It looks like it would not be adjusted for inflation. That figure would stay in the Constitution.
Right. Okay. But as we discussed before the Legislative Council, and it appears here in this partial transcript, the idea in setting a minimum wage rate of $6.85 is to have all employees at that level. Well, currently the minimum wage for tipped employees is $2.13. If that were increased by the same amount as the general minimum wage by $1.70, that would bring you up to $3.83. Then if you added $3 to that, you would have $6.83, not $6.85. As we discussed in answer to question number 6, the goal was to bring employees up to that level. And either because of an inability to add or just as a general matter of oversight, the original text did not account for bringing all employees up to that $6.85 level.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Grushkin?
Is it your understanding that should the federal minimum wage somehow exceed this, that would preempt? probably not relevant to setting a title, but.
My off-the-cuff answer is that, yes, if the federal government sets a wage that exceeds this, that it will preempt, just as if Colorado set a current minimum wage under $5.15 per hour, that would not be affected in light of federal law.
Is it your understanding that the consumer price index used for Colorado, is that statements used in the measure? I saw in the transcript there were just legislative council memo saying that phrase is a non-standard term, and they refer to the U.S. Department of Commerce Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Consumer Price Index for Denver, Boulder, all items, all urban consumers.
Right.
Whatever is the standard method of calculating the inflation adjustment would be used, and
correct.
At the current time it would be that.
The concern was that if we wrote into the Colorado Constitution the Denver-Boulder, I think it may even be Denver-Boulder-Greeley, but a specific price index, and then that changes because of changes in the manner of calculation at the federal level or expansion of the consumer price index used for Colorado to include Colorado Springs, for instance, we will have written into the Constitution an obsolete term and probably created great confusion where there really is none right now because there is no dispute over the consumer price index.
Observe that Mr. Gall is here, but I'm comfortable with Mr. Bruskin's representations about what happened, and I'll see the need for Mr. Gall to confirm them unless somebody else wishes to hear from Mr. Gall. Any other questions for Mr. Bruskin? If not, let's turn to discussion of whether or not the measure complies with the single subject requirement. Any discussion by the board, or is there a motion?
I'll move the proposed initiative 2005-2006 number 104 complies with the single subject requirement.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Staff draft. Mr. Cruz, have you had an opportunity to look at the staff draft? Do you have any comments?
I have had a chance to look at it. I don't have any proposed amendments to the staff draft. I think it accurately summarizes the admittedly brief issue.
Okay. Thank you. I'll note for the record, I don't have anybody else signed up to testify. Is there anybody else present who wishes to testify? Seeing none, discussion by the board on the staff draft?
Move to approve the staff draft for proposed initiative 2005-2006, number 104.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That concludes action on number 104. The time is 4:30 p.m. And that, with number 107 having been withdrawn by the proponents, in accordance with Mr. Gruskin's statements, then that concludes the agenda for the title board today, and we're adjourned. Thank you.